So as we move into our time of hearing Holy Scripture, I invite you to join me in our prayer of illumination. The words are found in your bulletin in the bold-faced type or on the screen. Let us pray. God of resurrection, you are the good news. Cast aside our doubts and fears. Help us listen with expectation and hope. So y'all did great. So our scripture comes to us from the gospel according to Matthew. I'll be reading from the 28th chapter, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings!" And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, for there they will see me." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, on this Easter Sunday, we are gathered to remember that the tomb was empty. And that is a moment that changes the lives of all who claim your name. Today, remind us of that truth, that we cling to this promise as your beloved children, that we may celebrate the resurrection and the life that is offered to us. So may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you have been with us during the season of Lent, or even if this is your first Sunday, there is something that Jesus taught us about how to treat one another. On Monday or Thursday night, we had a service called Maundy Thursday, and it's a way of remembering that last meal that Jesus had with his disciples, where Jesus washed the feet and said, "I am here to serve you. Go and do likewise, and take this commandment with you, that you shall love one another as I have loved you. They will know that you belong to me by how you love one another." So we've been wrestling through this entire season with some of these teachings of Jesus known as the parables. And some may refer to them as riddles, but each one was pushing us to recognize that everything in the world may not be as God intends it to be. And there are actions and thoughts that we can embody in order to bring about change in the world. And we are only able to do that because this change began with Jesus. So when Jesus, you know, in his 3 years of ministry and teaching and instructing and reinterpreting the scriptures and preaching on the Sermon on the Mount or on the plane or on his boat, he was trying to get people to realize how close the kingdom of heaven actually was because Jesus was there. And that if the kingdom of heaven is right there, then there should be a different way of living into those moments, of understanding how we are also part of what God is doing in the world. And so it's constantly pushing us to care and see the things that Jesus saw and cared about. You know, because Jesus often went to the outskirts. He went to the margins and engaged with people that would have been overlooked by society and culture. He went to leper colonies and healed them where people didn't want to come near to any of that. But Jesus went there. Jesus would preach in the synagogues and even at the temple, reimagining the law of God. Not in terms of the religious law where you dot the I's and cross the T's, but rather a law of love, love incarnate. Pushing even the churches and the people who claimed faith that maybe they didn't have a full appreciation of what God had hoped for the world. And that fullest expression, friends, came to realization when a symbol of death became a symbol of new life and hope. That Jesus journeyed to the cross in order to fulfill the scriptures that he was the ultimate gift from God on behalf of all of us. That the sins that we were born with and the sins that we perpetrate, those known and unknown, those individual and those in the community, are absolved and forgiven because of who Jesus is, because of the love Jesus was. But here's this interesting thing about this text today. Depending on which gospel text you read, the stone had already been rolled away. I invite you to go and look at the other gospels, but this one explains how that stone got rolled away, and it was through an earthquake. How many of you have lived through an earthquake? Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. It goes eerily quiet, and things start to roll, and you're not sure if you're standing on stable ground. But to have this earthquake happen and to see this stone roll away, can you imagine what an experience that was for Mary Magdalene and for Mary? And then to have an angel sit on that stone and say, "Don't be afraid." It's like telling the sun, "Don't shine during the day." Be like, "Of course, I'm going to be terrified." But then the message of hope comes, right? And so they say, "The one that you're looking for is not here, and come see where he was lay." And then once you see that, once you witness that, then I need you to go tell Jesus' disciples what you saw. Oh, and tell them that they're going to meet Jesus on the way to Galilee. Didn't we just see Jesus dead on Friday? Wasn't he laid in this tomb and now the tomb is empty? And now I'm going to see him in Galilee. For me, the wheels would be spinning. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, I'm like trying to figure this out. And again, the words of the angel are, "Do not be afraid." And so they were taken aback, and then they leave and they go and they do what's been asked of them. Go and tell the disciples. But before they can even get to them, Jesus intercepts them. And they fall onto their knees and grab a hold of Jesus. Now, friends, in the Jewish community, you were not supposed to touch dead bodies. Do you hear that? You're not supposed to do that. So if they actually knelt down and held on to Jesus, guess what? Jesus was not a dead body. Jesus was alive. Alive. Jesus was alive. And to have Jesus greet them, even in the midst of their confusion or fear or anxiety or this earthquake experience, they got to speak to Jesus. And then Jesus tells them, go tell the disciples that I'll meet them in Galilee. I just sit there and I wrap my head around this beautiful story, the circumstances of this unexpected encounter of finding an empty tomb and running into Jesus. Friends, how often do we run into Jesus? Do we fall onto our knees and cling to a Savior to recognize how our lives are so dependent upon Him? I can't answer that for you, but I know it's something that I hope I could do, to run into Jesus. And how is that possible? By looking into the eyes of the people right in front of me, clinging to you and knowing that God loves you as God loves me, as explained through Jesus. And if that is the truth to which we cling to, that Jesus is alive, then love is alive. And that love gives us a way of being, of living, of looking for those places on the margins, on the outskirts, to go to the places that Jesus went, to heal those who are often overlooked, to feed those who are hungry, to provide drink to those who are thirsty, to give shelter to unsheltered persons, or to make sure people are clothed appropriately. Friends, that is the ethic of justice and love and mercy that we are called to, because that ethic was embodied in Jesus, manifest in God's love, and that love is alive. Today isn't just a day on the calendar. It is a gentle, not so gentle reminder that our lives should look different because of this action. That collectively we will make a difference in the world, because that is what God is inviting us into because of this action of God. So when you go out there, will you encounter Jesus? Will you see Jesus in the eyes of those you engage with? Will you love those persons, whether you know them or not, whether you like them or not, whether you agree with them or not, or think the ways that they do or not? Or maybe you find yourselves so far apart, and then remember that what binds you together is this ethic of love, justice, and mercy. That, my friends, is what we cling to today. That Jesus is alive, love is alive, and we are called to live that love out into the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.